Okay, good morning, everyone. I want to call to order the regular board meeting of the commissioners Tuesday, January 30th, 2024. It's 9 a.m. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Next, if we can have a motion to approve the minutes from last week.
I'll make a motion to go ahead and approve the minutes for January 23rd, 2024. Second.
Have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes. Anything to add or from the agenda?
Staff has none.
None? No? Okay. With that, we'll open for public comment. Please, Amanda, will you play the spiel?
The purpose of the public comment period is to give the audience an opportunity to provide comments to commissioners regarding agenda items or other topics. It is an official on-the-record communication geared toward giving information and opinions to consider in the decision-making process. While the commissioners welcome hearing from you, please note that the public comment period is not an opportunity for dialogue with commissioners or for posing questions with the expectation of an immediate answer. Many questions require an opportunity for information gathering and deliberation. For this reason, the commissioners will accept comments, but will not directly respond to comments, questions, or concerns raised during the public comment period. Audience members who wish to speak should raise your hand to be called upon by the chairman, or virtual participants use the raise hand feature. Come to the podium, or virtual participants unmute your microphone when called upon. State your name and address for the record. And after speaking, write your name and address on the record sheet. Virtual participants do not complete this step. To allow every participant an opportunity to be heard, public comments will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker. The chairman will indicate when your allowed time has elapsed. In the interest of running an orderly meeting, we ask that you do not duplicate comments made by a previous speaker. Instead, please simply confirm your agreement with previous statements. When appropriate, the commissioners may refer an item identified during public comments to the county administrator for further action. Please note that if the speaker intends to give commissioners any records of any kind as a part of a presentation, the records must be handed directly to the clerk of the board for distribution.
Okay, thank you. Do you have one?
I do, yeah.
You do? Okay. Open it up. Anyone here in Prosser would like to give public comment? Please come forward and state your name and your address. Anyone here in Prosser? How about Kennewick? Anyone in Kennewick? Doesn't look like it. Anyone online?
So there's Rami?
Yes.
Rami? Yeah.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you, guys. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm calling because of, I want to make sure we're all aware of what's going on with the Sheriff's Department, and they're instituting the Clearview AI system. And I'm hoping that you commissioners and everybody is aware of that. It's portrayed as a way to catch the bad guys, which I'm all for. I'm all for catching bad guys. But you can just go a simple Google search, and it says right here, I'll read it, Clearview AI systems show documented racial bias and have facilitated several traumatic, wrongful arrests of innocent people around the world. I'm for technology to help catch the bad guys, but if we have one single innocent person harmed, wronged by this, then it's a bad idea. If somebody is misidentified and they get arrested, they've got to go through the hoops to prove their innocence and go through the time and the battle and the cost. This is not a good idea. So I'm hoping that you commissioners will keep an eye on this if it moves forward. And if there's anybody wronged by this technology, it needs to end. Okay? That's my comment.
Okay. Could you give your name again and where you're from?
Oh, my apologies. I'm Rami, and I'm in Kennewick.
Okay. Thank you, Roy. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyone else?
I think Jim Atkins.
Jim, are you on? Mr. Atkins?
He had his hand raised. Oh.
It's down now.
Yeah, I see. It's not on.
Okay.
Okay, if he comes back up, let me
know. Yeah.
Okay, with that, we'll close public comment, and we have a motion for the consent agenda, please.
I move to go ahead and approve the consent agenda items A through O.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Items A through O, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Nay, the ayes have it, the motion passes. Okay, scheduled business. Next we have Mr. File, our 2024 Benton County Legislative Agenda, and what, we're 4 weeks into it now?
Good morning. Nice to see you. Oh. Commissioner, though sorry you have to join us today and your plans were modified.
That's all right. It's a pleasure to be here.
So as you said, Commissioner, the current legislative session, we're about a third of the way through it. It's a little bit of a formality today, but as we developed the alleged agenda in the fall and largely had it completed when we met with legislators in Kennewick in December, but I do kind of like to adopt it for the record and have it on that public record. So what I'm going to do is just sort of go through our one pager or our one sheet. I kind of told Glenn, worked on this with us, that you know we kind of like to keep it to a one pager, and then the one pager became, well, two pages, but that kind of happens. So we'll talk a little bit about that and talk a little bit about how things have been going with our lobbyists, Josh and Annika, who I'll see this afternoon. And as you're aware, they send us every Sunday, Annika sends out what's now up to 11 pages, their update every week of the things that we follow. So our alleged agenda is more some specific priorities, but there's a lot more bills that we follow throughout the year, right? So they're following about 50 different bills for us, and over 1,000 bills have been filed in the session. Anyway, so with the alleged agenda, what we do is we kind of outline some major funding requests that we're working on, and then some policy positions that we've taken and some that we share with our partners. We have two major funding requests that we're involved in. So obviously, we're trying to bring Recovery Center to the finish line, and there's an ask in for another $1.5 million for the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery. And also, there's a community ask. I don't have a number for that, but the community, of course, is trying to work toward the facility replacement of the microwave system, and DCES is leading that coalition. On to some policy items. Certainly an important one that we've been watching for a couple of years is the harassment of elections officials. There was a Senate committee hearing on that yesterday. There's another one today, an executive session hearing on that today. It has passed the House. So this, even in this short session, this item is moving along fairly well. In the simplifying the voter change of address, that is in House committee. So these are a couple of items that have largely come forward from the auditors group. And as you know, in the fall, the auditor and the clerk and a few of the other elected officials are generally very heavily involved in our development of the alleged agenda. Next group here have largely to do with FSEC, and I think there's even more bills than this having to do with FSEC this year. So here's a few of the items, and mostly being brought forward by legislators in our district or in Yakima County. The aerial firefighting one was one that I wrote some testimony for last week, and Josh on our team provided that testimony. And a few of these are moving along pretty well. Commissioner McKinney in Yakima County has been very active in trying to push these through, and some of our representatives and senators from our area have been very animated and very ambitious in trying to get some of these items through. Next group here, some more, say, on the resource or economic development side. I'll mention the, we've talked a lot about targeted urban areas in recent months. That item there is, I think there'll be some more ledge fixes in the future, but what's going on right now is Commissioner Barnard is adding an item to the existing legislation to give a little more time for anything that would come, that would have to go through the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, give an extra 2 years for such projects to get started, because that's the least amount of time you're going to need to get something through the NRC. So that's an addition there on targeted urban areas. The item down there at the bottom, the financial education prerequisites, that might not seem like one that's sort of at the top of our list, but put that in there because Representative Rood is particularly passionate about this, brought it up multiple times in our meetings. I don't know that his bill is going to make it very far in this session, but figured we'd put that in there as sort of a consideration to him. He's been great working with us on a number of things over the years, and this is an important bill to him, so put that on there. And then, of course, that leads us to a nod to another legislator, probably the most important item for the legislature this year. The designation of the state cactus. Actually, this is something that Senator Warnick put on last year. So this is maybe a bit of a fun one from her, but Senator Warnick is, even though she is not representing Benton County, she has helped, been very helpful on a number of items that have that benefited us in recent years, not the least of which was the big Stargrass initiative a couple of years ago and some other ones. And so she was prompted by some of folks in her district to add to the state's list of official things. And so I'll see her tomorrow and in a couple of weeks, and thought I'd throw a bone toward her and all the things she's done. We have some partner positions. So we always sort of pick up on some things that are brought forward by some of our key partners. And Josh and Annika and others at times will sign in on bills in support if that's something that's on our agenda or something that we're supporting. Another example I would give, something that may not seem as important to us, is that last item. The European green crab is a major issue on the coast in Puget Sound. Of course, that's not here, but kind of sort of want to step up and help your other folks on the other side of the state when we figure we might need them sometime here in the future, such as with spotted lanternfly, which could be a problem here. We've been reading about Japanese beetle infestations, which is a big problem here in West Benton County, and now potentially in Pasco. Northern pike in the Columbia River is another one. So at some point, we're going to need some help when we have an emergency, and we'll be asking for support here. And so I think this is a good one coming through the Washington Invasive Species Council, which I sit on, that will be helpful to the west side of the state. And as they say, Commissioner in Olympia, Sinadia, the end. Are there any questions or comments from the board?
No, I just, on that fire one, I totally agree. Like, I mean, we had the big fire on the hills, early summer, whatever. I mean, if we didn't have the aerial firefighting going on, some of those houses probably would have been gone.
You could smell it on the drive out today.
Totally,
you could smell that singe. And we were sitting down there in the building watching those planes, both the tanker as well as the scoopers that were making those laps. And you're right, Commissioner, there were two big fires going the same day. And if we had not had those resources.
Oh, yeah. Some of those houses would have been gone.
Totally awful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm glad we're pushing that. And I appreciate the presentation.
So there's two items, Adam. I know one you mentioned, one you did not. I think one can affect the county here, and it could cost us some money. It also will affect the Benton County residents. Would be small 25 horsepower or less small motors or small engines and stuff like that. I know here in on the east side, we have snow blowers, we have lawnmowers. A lot of people have third acre, half acre lots, driveways, etc. And so I know that could impact it if that goes through and they start banning the use of small 25 horsepower or less lawnmowers, etc. I'm all good for clean energy and energy efficiency. I have a weeded us battery operated stuff like that, but I think that could affect the people that live here. And I didn't see that on there, as well as the county, because if we're going to have to convert all our equipment to meet those needs, that means we're going to have to do a lot of expensive renovation and new purchases for new equipment. So it can impact the county itself as well. I'll go ahead, and I got one more after that.
Well, I would just say we are signed in as opposed to that. That's HB 2051. And so we're very well aware of that. That sort of emerged late in the game, kind of after most of this was developed. But everyone knows that we're opposed to that, and our lobbyists are representing us as opposed to that.
And when I was at the LSC meeting, Legislative Steering Committee, I mentioned that we were. And the other one was, I know that you talked about, was the Benton County Emergency Services and microwave towers. We're still working on that. I know myself and Matt, that could also have a potential impact on us because it usually was based off population. Dodge. I know like the Franklin County, and that's where we're all maybe having to buy into that equally, which is going to be a little bit more expensive once we start getting the numbers down more, that we could probably work on that as well. So just one of the things I saw, and we might have to ask in the future. Yeah. That's all I had.
Yeah, yesterday I testified on one of the pieces of legislation for FSEC with Commissioner McKinney from Yakima, and the Yakima Nation deals with some filling in some gaps with the FSEC process. So I've testified several times in some of those bills you mentioned. So that's our lobbying group does a good job over there. Josh and Annika, they bring stuff to our attention. So that's good. And Commissioner Alvarez participates in the Legislative Steering Committee. That's important to keep up to date on that. It's always good to have a good agenda moving into the session, even though it's a short session, it's about a third way through. But we need to be, we need to give our comments and what we think of, you know, what affects our people here in Benton County. And so it's good. So thank you.
Yeah.
Does Jim Atkins still have his hand up?
No, it's down now.
Jim, well, if you, Mr. Atkins, if you want to, go ahead and put your hand back up. We'll try to get to you. Benton Franklin County Council of Governments.
Do we make a motion on that, though?
Yeah. Oh, is there a motion to adopt it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll do that real quick. I move for adoption of the 2024 Benton County Legislative Agenda.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes. Okay. Now Jim, move on to COG.
Yeah, his hand's raised.
Go ahead, Mr. Atkins. We'll give you a couple minutes here.
Thank you, gentlemen. My hand was raised originally. So a question about, and you look at the expenses, Winco Foods for this month was $10,000. What was that expense for? The community action sheet, Matt Rasmussen prepared approval to issue RFP. I know what RFP stands for, but you're supposed to spell them out and then put in parentheses behind it, RFP. And then resolutions, you guys, there's chairman of the board, chairman pro tem. How come you can't have your names typed in there as well? I've been asking that for a year. Also, the commissioner's action agenda sheet, Benton Franklin Council of Governance, ARPA report, that's got several acronyms that aren't explained in there. And then there's the commissioner agenda action sheet, Washington State OPD SPAR grant. It doesn't tell you what that SPAR grant is, or an OPD, you have to read down there to try to figure out what that is. So just if somebody could tighten up on the administration activities so the public could know, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate the input. Okay. Where were we? Oh, COG. Yeah. Okay. Adam, Benton Franklin Council of Governments, semiannual.
Yeah, that's pretty much what that is, Commissioner. Always a pleasure to work with Zach Bratkai, and who's here today and is going to give you a periodic presentation on what we've been working on our resiliency contract with the COG, and I'll turn it over to him.
Okay. Welcome. We just follow each other around from place to place, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Adam, and thank you, commissioners. Good morning, Zach Rackheim, Local Government Programs Director for the Benton Franklin Council of Governments. Michelle Holt, our Executive Director, was planning on being here, but she welcomed her second grandchild this morning, so she is in Idaho taking care of very important obligations, and we're very happy for her as well. So what we want to talk a little bit about this morning is just a little bit of a reminder on the background of our ARPA program with the Benton Franklin Council of Governments. Highlight some of our technical assistant aspects for Benton County. Talk a little bit about our grant eligible projects updates, give some specific updates related to Benton County and jurisdictions within, and a little bit of our ongoing activities for 2024. So as you may recall, we've entered into a joint memorandum of agreement with Benton and Franklin counties to fund ARPA funding, American Rescue Plan Act funding, beginning in 2023. It was ratified by both counties in May of 2023 through the end of 2025. This funding, $250,000 of which came from Benton County and appropriated through that MOA, funds really an economic development and economic recovery coordination in the wake of COVID-19 and some of the items associated with that. And essentially, there was four tenets of this program: research and identification of recovery and development projects in Benton County and Franklin County, technical assistance provided to the county itself, as well as jurisdictions within the county and other public sector partners, identification of grant eligible projects, both from federal sources and state sources, and general facilitation of ongoing projects. So some of the meetings since May of 2023, we had worked with both counties and attended some meetings with Franklin County at the HAPO Center. We attended a very good summit that Mr. File had put on behalf of Benton County for the 0.09 sales tax working groups. We conducted a number of one-on-one staff meetings with Benton County staff, as well as staff members and representatives of large and small jurisdictions within Benton County to really understand their needs, what their programs are, and how we can help associate and appropriate funding to that. CM and CA meetings, those are county and city manager, county and city administrator meetings, so actively participating with leadership throughout the county to identify what's going on with their jurisdictions. And we've stepped up some of our role with our TRIDEX, so working on case management meetings and their case management group, their economic development partners group, really to get a pulse on the community, have a seat at the table, and identify where, as needs come up, where we can best plug them in to our communities. So funding, we are the agency of record with the federal government for notice of funding opportunities, or we call that NOFOs for short. So we receive those periodically from Senator Murray, Senator Cantwell's office, Congressman Newhouse's office, various federal programs that are available to communities. We sift through those. We do forward on those documents to our jurisdictional partners, but we've identified, you know, maybe 10 specific ones over the course of the year that could benefit transportation and infrastructure projects, economic development and job creation projects, urban planning, items that really would benefit what our communities would need. In addition to technical assistance, we provide significant letters of support for any projects that are originating with our partner communities. Specifically in Benton County, there was a number of City of Kennewick congressional direct spending projects in the year that they needed letters of support for. We're happy to lend support for that. Same with City of Richland. Coordinating with City of Richland and Benton County on targeted urban areas and really trying to see where we can help provide some of that facilitation and coordination. And a couple of infrastructure projects in City of Prosser too, we lent some of that written support to as well. We do have our small cities technical assistance program. Some of our smaller communities in the region do not have the staff on hand for grant writing, the planning, development, that sort of thing. So we do provide technical assistance where needed, whether it's helping assist with the grant, identification of programs, coordination with federal officials and state officials. We also are conducting formal and regularly scheduled periodic meetings. We have a small city summit, which we held in August over Zoom, where we highlighted our brownfields and broadband action team programs, which we'll go into a little bit more detail later on in the presentation.
Zach, real quick, yes, on that small cities, for the technical assistance for like writing grants and stuff, mm-hmm. So for like Pros or Benton City, has it been effective? Are you getting reaching out to you? I mean, because grants are super important for, yes, a lot of the different projects. How's that working out?
As we meet with those communities, try to identify those needs and just offer our help. We stand ready and available for that. We are looking to get some grant writing help on staff at the COG and applying for grants to get a grant writer, which is kind of funny to say.
Yeah.
Really doing a lot more with our outreach to say, hey, we're here, we administer grants on behalf of the communities, but we're also here to help you apply for those grants too.
That's a big thing.
And I think certainly the provision of those notices of funding opportunities is key to let people know what's out there.
Okay, thank you.
So you bet. We also did a small city summit, which they're also joined by our big cities as well, on economic development administration funding programs. So those are job creation, tourism programs, federal dollars that could go to facilities and actions within each community. We did particular pairing with the Benton County Fairgrounds and a direct meeting facilitation with our EDA rep in Seattle to see what programs we can do for some of the projects going on out there as well. We also facilitate regular discussion with congressional staff. Our first Congressional Connections meeting will be tomorrow. And this is where we have the staff, local staff for our senators and our congressmen on hand, really just to talk about information on projects, any funding requests that are currently in action with the federal body, any funding requests that may need be needed in the future, offer some two-way discussion with our federal representatives, and just provide updates on projects there. So that's always been used by, you know, we've had cities, you know, City of Kennewick, City of Richland, some of the bigger cities in on these meetings as well, even though they have their own lobbying structure. But Benton City is an active participation in that, so helping out the small communities that don't have that background and connection. You know, City of Prosser is going to be joining us tomorrow at our Congressional Connection Summit as well, just to talk about how we can distill all the action in D.C. down here locally and benefit our communities with a reduced burden on the local taxpayer as well. Our new program with this is once the legislative session is complete in Olympia, we will be inviting our state delegation to these meetings. And really, we want to host them at the Benton Franklin Council of Government office, have scheduled time, structured time, but then they can come in and just have a forum to bounce ideas off of our federal and state delegations. So looking to expand that. So I'm going to read us a couple of themes here as well, but some of the specific grant eligible projects that we've been working hard on are our broadband action teams and brownfields assessment and planning. Those are specific programs we have with the Franklin Council of Governments. And then I'll go in a little bit on Ag Council and some of the commerce grants we have in process as well. But specific to our broadband activities first, we do are facilitating some of the broadband dollars that came through from the federal government to Benton and Franklin counties. We've been facilitating monthly broadband action team meetings. We participated in over 30 meetings, workshops, and webinars supporting the Broadband Equity, Accessibility, and Deployment, or BEAD, Act, and digital equity funding opportunities. Completed our required data collection for these programs to access these dollars, including broadband asset map updating, and we've developed an executive summary of development for Benton County, and facilitated a rapid design study request for the county, as well as just provided some information gathering and review of results. So the state broadband office is to receive $1.2 billion in funding from the federal government for broadband access. And so we're monitoring that process launch to really help us enable potential applications from the region. So this is one that, you know, Michelle has been facilitating in our office. But in a sense, there's dollars available to the state to help improve broadband access to disadvantaged and rural communities. We certainly have a large rural aspect of Benton County and Franklin County as well. So this program is really to provide that local lens to see how we can improve broadband access throughout the region in that as well.
Question on that.
Yes, sir. I will do my best to answer.
Okay. But do you know if some of the current providers are participating in those rural areas, providers in those rural areas? Because I know they have approached the county in the past about, you know, jointly mm-hmm. going after some of those funds, but I don't know if it's still, if it's been corrected, but Washington State is the only state that doesn't allow private-public partnership on the broadband. But I'm just curious if they are participating in your meetings.
I don't want to overreach and try sure. to answer, but I will certainly okay. find that answer for okay. you, Commissioner, and provide okay. it to this body.
Okay, thank you.
Our Brownfields Assessment Program has been a key grant-funded program, too, that's provided a lot of assistance to not only local government jurisdictions, but private landowners in both Benton and Franklin counties. Specifically to Benton County, we have site number 7 as identified in the plan, which was Kennewick General Hospital in Kennewick. Our scope of work for that was a phase 2 environmental, an ESA environmental, all the talk of acronyms earlier from our resident kind of threw me a little bit. Environmental assessment and a site reuse planning. The phase 2 environmental assessment sampling and analysis plan was approved by EPA in May of 2023, and that was finalized for that project and that site on late July. We had another site in Kennewick that received a phase 1 environmental assessment and a regulated building material survey. So these are projects that are existing. They could have environmental remediation needed for the site. That's expensive for redevelopment. So this program helps offset some of those costs. For this site in on Bruno Avenue in Kennewick, that ESA, the environmental assessment, was finalized on June 20th, and more of the asbestos and regulated building materials was completed in late August. The Benton County Fairgrounds Rock Quarry received a phase 1 environmental assessment and regulated building material survey. We'll be going through some site-specific reuse planning, which is pending application for additional brownfields funding later this year. So the environmental survey and the building materials assessment was started in May and completed in July on that one. Same with Benton County Sundowns Arena in Kennewick. Same thing, another environmental assessment, building material survey, and same thing with the site-specific reuse application to be done this year. But the environmental assessment and building material survey was completed in started in May of 2024 and finalized in July of 2023. So some of these specific items, just the generalized cost of this, the overall scope of cost, just under $400,000, but the amount of money that we were able to appropriate to this program saved the county, and whether it's City of Kennewick, county residents, county jurisdictions, just over $236,000 out of it. You know, saved that kind of money to get all this work done to help redevelop these sites at a lower cost. As part of the Tri-Cities Strategic Alliance, which is formerly known as MyTri 2030, as conducted through the Regional Chamber of Commerce, we've had active participation in the Tri-Cities Agricultural Council, which is identifying ways to promote agricultural technology and innovation for our region, as well as imports and exports, and really try to boost those businesses as well. And then in December, we completed a Washington Commerce Securing Federal Funding Initiative grant, or SFFI grant. For this grant, going back to grant writing, that's our grant for a grant writer. We had requested $85,000 from the State Department of Commerce, which would be matched by Benton Franklin Council of Governments funding to hire a grant administrator. This position for our organization would administer not only some of our significant grants like the Brownfields and the broadband program in-house at the COG, our transportation initiatives, but also be available for direct technical assistance to our jurisdictional partners to write grants on their behalf, to identify grants that could benefit a single jurisdictional partner, or to get a number of jurisdictional partners in as a group for group support for a grant as well. So we are awaiting word. Commerce has delayed awarding that twice, so a little frustrating, but as soon as we know, you will know. And we'd be very excited to announce that when it's in effect. So just our ongoing activities in closing today, we're still gonna be looking for funding opportunities to send out to jurisdictional partners. So far in January, I found 5 that are applicable from state and federal sources. So we work directly with our partners on that to see if they're interested, in pursuing it on their own or having the COG help them out. We are going to be revising our community economic development strategy, which is a federal document for economic development through our organization. really refining those goals and specific projects for our jurisdictional partners to help enable federal funding opportunities for them. Continue with our outreach and partnership. So that's coming to the meeting here and doing our outreach for the ARPA report, our general annual reports. And continuing, as I stated before, with our connections with congressional and state elected officials Our congressional connections meeting begins tomorrow, and welcome some of our jurisdictional partners there as well. So a lot of information. As is stipulated in our MOA, we need to report to you twice a year. So we'll be back in June with a mid-year report, but I'm here to stand for questions at this time.
Gentlemen?
I just, like I said, you know, if you had a grant writer, that would be awesome. I know you and me both know when I served and you served over there in the city of Richland. Mm-hmm. That was, we had, staff was outstanding at doing grants and requesting grants, and we got a lot of money in there. I think the same thing with the county and et cetera. We have some like that for the cities and stuff with smaller cities. It'll only help them with their budgets and stuff as everything's costing more. So I'm curious to see how that's going to go in the future. That's a really good thing.
Yes, sir.
I agree. I'm glad you guys have one because yeah, with the smaller cities and stuff and jurisdictions, you know, it's that money's out there. And if that jurisdiction doesn't get it, someone else is going to get it. So it's really great that you guys are proactive on that and getting it going.
And you got a city administrator right behind you here from the city of Prosser. So I see him sitting in here. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, Mr. Glover and I are going to hang out after this too.
There you go.
Just a quick question too. Is it something too that you guys kind of do investigation work? Like, hey, there's a grant out here, but this jurisdiction hasn't reached out to you guys. Do you bug mm-hmm. them and say, hey,
yep.
guys, so that's kind of both ways. If they find it, vice versa. Okay.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Make sure those communication channels are open.
Yeah.
Even if it's grants, like we sent the Port Infrastructure Development Program grant to all three of the ports in Tri-Cities, so Port of Benton, Port of Kennewick, Port mm-hmm. of Pasco, knowing that they are well aware of that funding, but we're still going to provide those redundancies to say, hey, we're here to help. If you need letters of support, if you need hearings, if you need us to facilitate a community meeting, we're certainly here to help with that.
That's awesome.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all in June.
Take the rest of the day off. Thanks.
What's that?
Take the rest of the day off.
Well, he got the suit on. He's working all day. Okay, next we have the grant funding. What's it? Oh, grant funding for Washington State Park and Recreation Commission for the federal assistant for boating safety programs. This is an annual event. So we have Commander Matthew Clark. Is he in Kennewick, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Can't see on that little screen.
Yeah, it's a small screen up there.
Is he at the podium? Are you at the podium or table?
Yeah, he's there.
Commander?
Yes, okay, I am. Are you guys able to hear me now? Okay.
Yes, we can hear you. Okay, we can see you now.
Okay, perfect. So I'm here today. The Benton County Sheriff's Office submitted the grant application for the Washington State Parks and Recreation Commission 2024 Federal Financial Assistance Grant Program for the Recreational Boat Safety Program. Benton County received the letter of award for the fiscal year of 2024, stating that Parks and Rec is awarding Benton County the Recreational Boating Safety Federal Financial Assistance Grant in the amount of $11,825.57. With this grant, this is the first year Parks and Rec issued a formal contract between the Federal Financial Assistance Grant at the federal level and Benton County Sheriff's Office as a sub-recipient. A different intergovernmental agreement will be issued to outline the relationship between the state parks and Benton County for the same grant. Washington State Parks and Rec is requiring Benton County to sign the attached sub-recipient grant agreement first, and then they will return a fully executed copy to us for our records. Again, for the fiscal impact, this is a grant amount of $11,825.57. The grant does require a match. State Parks and Rec requires a $2,956.39 match requirement during the year of 2024 from Benton County. The grant and projected expenditures were approved during the 2023-24 budget process. Therefore, there is no budget adjustment consideration needed. This is a grant that we've received on a yearly basis as well. So we're just asking that it is approved and receive the grant again for this coming year.
Wait, any comments?
Commander Clark, it's a grant. You should be smiling right now. You're all
it is a grant. Yes.
Well, they sure did
increase the paperwork on it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yep, more and more.
Okay, any questions?
No. I'll go ahead and make a motion. I make a motion the Board of Benton County Commissioners hereby approves the Recreational Boating Safety Federal Financial Assistance Grant Award from the Washington State Parks and Recreation Commission in the amount of $12,468 for the use of marine enforcement, vessel safety inspections, education, training, and equipment for recreational boating safety, and hereby authorizes the Benton County Sheriff to sign the attached agreement number MLE 325-170.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you, Commander.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. Have a good rest of your day.
You too.
Next, Washington State Office of Public Defense grant for simple possession and advocacy representation. So do we have Mr. Dow somewhere?
Is he online? I don't see him online. Yeah, I don't see him online.
Huh.
Maybe, I wonder if he got tied up.
What if he's in court? Right?
But I can speak to it.
That'd be great.
Mr. Dow did apply for a grant through the State Office of Public Defense in the amount of $191,500. It's called a SPAR grant. They did receive the grant award, so we need board approval to sign, to authorize Mr. Dow to sign the grant agreement on behalf of the county.
Okay, and OPD is Office of Public Defense, and the SPAR is that, the Simple Possession Advocacy Representation Program.
Correct.
You got it. That's the SPAR. Okay. Any questions?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution for Washington State OPD SPAR grant and approval for the public defense manager to sign the agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the grant. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you. Next, we have, it says line item transfer, sometimes referred to as LIT, in the Treasurer's Office for Prosser Office Supervisor. Mr. Spencer.
Our illustrious Benton County Treasurer.
Well, we're trying to make things a little more efficient in our office here in Prosser. And so I've got before you a line item transfer. Doesn't have any fiscal impact. We're able to take funds from several different sources to cover our needs on that. One of the processes that we're going through with our upcoming study, we'll be making some changes in the way we do things in our office to become more efficient, spend our money a little more wisely. This is one of them, and brought it before you today to give us the opportunity to have a office supervisor up here in the Prosser office. So, any questions?
And you said it was budget neutral.
Yes, sir.
That's the word.
We work hard.
We speak the same language.
We try. We try.
Anything else? No. Okay.
I'll move to approve the transfer of funds within the general fund 0010 Treasurer's Department 124 as presented.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Who's opposed?
Well,
motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the tax bills have gone out?
They're in the process of being printed.
Okay.
They'll be going out here in the next few days.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just wait for that every year. other business, gentlemen.
Yes. So I want to go ahead and talk real quick. Okay. I apologize. For it. I attended. I was Friday night. The sheriff's office put on a public meeting at 7 p.m. for the Clearview AI, and I think there was 20-25 people. There might have been a little bit more, somewhere around that range. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. And so it was, I think there was 44 individuals from the sheriff's office. I think one was a scriber writing down all the questions and notes. And there was a command commander, lieutenant, and a detective. And I apologize. I think that's who almost all their ranks and what their positions were. And there's a lot of, there actually for 20, 25 people on a Friday night, 7 p.m., there's a lot of interaction, a lot of questions, a lot of valid questions and points. Mm-hmm. I will go ahead and definitely say that the representatives from the sheriff's office was very patient, very professional, and tried very hard to answer all the questions that the public had and all their concerns. So got to give kudos to the sheriff's office and the representatives there. But I kind of saw, you know, probably 95 to 99% of how everybody felt. There's a lot of information that I learned just sitting there from court cases to settlements to who can use it, who doesn't use it, and kind of the concerns there. And I've been getting that through the community here lately. Let me see here real quick. And I can see personally, I know you guys do the same thing, that we get a lot of information from staff. We're going to hear from the vendor. We're going to, you know, I know that I listen to the public a lot, as well as do my own homework. So it's going to be interesting. I think after they're going to do one more public meeting, I think the representatives from the sheriff's office said, so they've had three, they're going to do a fourth. Then after that, there's a 90-day waiting period, I believe something that happens. I kind of know, honestly, I'll let you both know, when we have that discussion, whether it's sooner or later, I'm kind of leaning a certain way more and more. And I think, like you said, there were some very valid points. And so anyway, I want to let you know, I thought poor Friday night was pretty well attended and very educational on both sides. So I wanted to give you a heads up on that. That's all I had.
Well, yeah, and they have to submit a report to us before we approve it.
Yeah.
I had a lot of concerns. I mean, the gentleman referenced Google. Yeah, I did some Google searches online searches about AI. The vendor has had kind of a checkered past. When they brought those programs out, I know they used that for the January 6th incident there at the Capitol. And it's been used by other law enforcement, but we would be the first law enforcement in the state if we approve it. But I went to a briefing by the Sheriff's Department. That helped me understand a lot. And I guess, I'm comfortable now as long as the gentleman... As long as there's a process, and I think there was an article in the Herald, or the Herald did an editorial for what it's worth. But, you know, if the controls are there and the access is controlled, and it is monitored by a supervisor who's going to be responsible for making sure that happens, you know, I can go either way.
But
as long as those safeguards are there, then, you know. So I'll wait for the final report.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, I think one of the points that someone made was that if there's been some court, and there might be some court cases right now that are continuing going on, and one of the individuals said, let it wash out through the court system first before we take on that type of liability. And so I was kind of concerned when I heard that. And they were mentioning some court cases where there's been some settlements. You mentioned Google, and I think it was one other provider.
Microsoft.
They've opted to stay out of it because of those court cases and liability. So it's a big topic. Right. I'm very pro law enforcement. I have no secret to say that. I support them 110%. But I want to make sure that we don't take on more liability. If there's one mistake, we're going to take on it's going to be a multi-million dollar suit.
Sure.
So we just have to make sure we cross our T's and dot our I's and done the homework there. It was interesting to hear from the public and how they felt.
Well, that brings up, I was assured at that briefing I had with the vendor and the sheriff's department is that any information that Benton County submits in to do a search, it stays within Benton County. Company said, the vendor said that Clearview, I think.
Yeah.
It does not go outside into there. It doesn't dump those photos into their system. It remains within Benton County. It's our, for only Benton County use, because that was a concern I had. If we're dumping a bunch of photos into their system, you know, but they say, no, that doesn't happen. And it's all social media, whatever's available to the public. that's what they gather, but there's something like, I don't know, 4 or 5 billion pictures in their system or something.
Yeah, I did. I was
so that's why I don't get on Facebook or any of those things anymore, because they just gleam all that stuff.
Yeah, I was in a briefing too, as well with the shirts and the vendor and stuff. So it'll be quite an interesting thing. Like I said,
well, thanks for going.
Yeah, it was interesting.
No, yeah, I had the presentation too, and just real quick on that is I think it is a good idea, but it's at the same time we have to be very cautious to make sure. Okay, Mr. Smith just stole from Circle K. We've never seen this guy before. Oh, we got a picture from their camera. That picture goes into Clearview, and then they, you know, so we just make sure that it's all criminal activity, not, hey, where's Commissioner McKay at today? Oh, we're going to look and find out where he's at, blah, blah, blah. You know, so we need to make sure it's, you know, because again, it's, even though, and I agree with the Sheriff's Department, I'm supportive of it, but we have to make sure all our T's are crossed and our I's are dotted on this because of liability that could cause the county big time. Because like you said on online too, Clearview has some lawsuits already that are kind of similar activities.
Yeah, and that's when you're talking the public sector is not willing to take it on. And like I said, that was attended by all walks of life, all political viewpoints. So I thought it was interesting. And I kind of saw where the majority of the lean, probably 95 to 98% of them lean. And that's kind of what I'm getting out in the community right now. So
but like,
we'll have to move forward and get more information.
And I think it was only $7,000 I think a year or something like that?
$7,500
$7,500 for a 4-year contract. To where it's something that we could try it out for a year or two and then cancel or something. But again, yeah, we just make sure it's the liability's gone, because I get it, you know, speeding up process, saving time on overtime. I know that they brought up my meeting that they had to go up to Spokane for some deputies had to go to Spokane for some type of thing that happened down here. So it would have saved overtime, travel. So again, it might pay for itself in the long run, but again, we got to make sure it's taken care of.
We talked one last thing on that, because I know this is the time we can actually talk. Mm-hmm. Just food for thought also is, you know, when we have that Law and Justice Council, we've always talked, you know, I've been talking to about more of a regional type thing. And that would be, you know what, maybe a potential interlocal agreement. I'd like to see what the other cities would say with that, so that we all take all in together. We're going to do, we're all in it together, and that liability rests on all of us. And I'd like to see what the cities would say if they were willing to go ahead and buy into that, because those are law enforcement agencies. I want 3 or 4 of them on top of the sheriff's office. So it'll be interesting versus taking it all on the county herself.
Sure.
Just food for thought.
Commissioner, okay, anything?
No.
Done it last week, done a couple testimonies via Zoom for some bills that our county's interested in. Matt and I were supposed to go back to D.C. to get some more funding for the microwave system and a recovery center, but Alaska canceled our flights this morning. So,
did they have a door issue? Is that why they canceled?
Well, they say that they've inspected all those, and starting, I think, February 1st, all their 737s are back in service. I just read a report that the plane that hatch came off, it came from the factory unbolted. I think only 2 of the bolts had been put in at the factory. So, you know, Alaska didn't even know that, you know. So Boeing has some issues. I think their earnings report comes out today. But yeah, we'll see what their earnings report and what their stock does. It's been going up and down a little, but interesting. Any other thing? We got Mr. Spencer. You already got your Josie, anything? Anything from staff? We've got executive session coming up with the un and only Mr. Brown. I just heard you're retiring at the end of next year. Next year, you're staying till the end of next year?
A year from now.
He's
counting it down.
A year from now. Okay. With that, we'll go at ease for executive session. About how long?
Session, depends on any questions you guys have.
Okay, up to 20, for 20 minutes. It's now 9:54 a.m., so we'll be at ease.
It's 10 11, we can have an executive session, discuss the community issue of elections.
Gentlemen, anything else for the good of the order?
No?
Nope. Okay, with that, then the meeting's adjourned. Everyone have a good afternoon, the rest of the week.